The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and what it means to us. And we thank you for the promise that you have woven all throughout Scripture. You promised us a Savior and you delivered. And Lord, as we continue to look to your word, you've promised us that he will return and you will deliver. And we thank you for what this time means to us, how it's a time of reflection, it's a time of worship, it's a time for us to be able to just give you glory and thank you that there's never been a moment when you didn't have everything under control. There's never been a moment when you were despairing or wringing your hands because of what was taking place, that you knew that you would send a Savior. And Father, I thank you for sending your Son. And Jesus, we thank you for coming, knowing what you would face. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you minister in our hearts and that you've entered into all of us who will receive you, and that you are our Lord and that you are taking care of us still today. So tonight, as we worship you, tonight as we look at the meaning and look a little deeper into the meaning of Christmas, we thank you that you are here. We invite you to be here and take complete charge of everything that's going on and open up our hearts that we might be able to receive from you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, if you will turn on the back of your programs to the responsive reading. It comes from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 6, and then verse 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord.
And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears.
But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them.
In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people.
The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious.
We begin the Christian year by celebrating the holy season known as Advent. Advent means coming. Advent is a time of penance and preparations, a time of waiting. The season of Advent proclaims the revelation of God's love, expressed in Christ's birth in a lowly manger, in his sacrificial death on the cross, and in his victorious resurrection from the grave. As we prepare our homes with the symbols of Christmas, we also prepare our hearts by opening them to God's promise, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The Advent wreath is a symbol of preparation. The lighting of a new candle on each of the four Sundays before Christmas reminds us that something is happening, but more is yet to come. The circle of the wreath has no end, and bears four candles, which symbolize hope, peace, joy, love, and the eternal Christ, who is the light of the world. On the first Sunday of Advent, we light the first candle, the symbol of Christ, our hope, to remind us of God's promise that Christ is our hope and our salvation. On the second Sunday of Advent, we will light the second candle, the symbol of peace, to remind us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. On the third Sunday of Advent, we'll light the third candle to symbolize the joy in the angel's message in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Do not be afraid. I bring you great tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we'll light the fourth candle, the symbol of God's love as proclaimed in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. On Christmas Eve, we will light the candle in the center of the Advent wreath, the symbol of Christ's purity. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says, everyone who has this hope in Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. The eternal ring of the Advent wreath, a symbol of God's everlasting hope, his peace, his joy, and love given to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
In Psalms 92, 12 through 15, it says, righteous flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Hanging of the greens goes back to ancient Rome for Christians. Evergreens include trees and plants such as fir, cedar, pine, ivy, holly, and rosemary. The green color represents eternal life, and the evergreens are always green, fresh, and alive, and are everlasting. Thus, the hanging of the evergreens, which was once used in pagan ceremonies, has become a Christian tradition as people converted to Christianity in the early church. It says in Isaiah 53, 3 through 6, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man suffering and familiar with pain. Like one of whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Holly has become a sign of Christ's passion. The prickly leaves suggest the crown of thorns, and the red berries, the blood that Jesus shed for our sins. As we place the wreaths in holly, let us rejoice in the coming of our Jesus, our Savior.
The candles are placed in our wands tonight. They have a purpose, which is to recognize Jesus as God's light in the world. Jesus is the one true light. As the Gospel of John says in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and verses 9 through 14.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a human husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. It's Luke 2:15-16.
One of the most heartwarming expressions of Christmas is the Nativity. The Nativity speaks of the mystery of God's wisdom, how God chose to send his Son into our world as a baby of humble birth, born in common surroundings we do not know. We cannot understand that greater love. In the Middle Ages, when few people could read and what was written in Latin, carved figurines were used to tell the story, especially the story of Jesus' birth. St. Francis of Assisi is given credit for popularizing the manger scene in 1224 when he used a cave outside a small Italian town and set it up as a manger scene with live animals and real people. Jesus, the Christ child, was life-size and made of wax. Our manger scenes today include camels, a common animal in the East. Camels were called ships of the desert, and the camel's presence reminds us of the wise men from the East who came seeking the Christ child.
I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will come out of Israel. Numbers 24:17. The poinsettia, often called the flower of the holy night, speaks to us symbolically in several ways. It is a newer Christian tradition beginning in the 19th century when Dr. Joel Poinsett, United States Ambassador to Mexico, introduced it to the United States. He admired the dramatic beauty of the poinsettia, and the star-shaped formation of leaves is symbolic of Bethlehem's star that shone over the manger where Jesus was born.
Another way that the poinsettia speaks to us to remind us of Christ is by its colors. The white poinsettia represents the purity of Christ. The red poinsettia represents the blood of Jesus when he died on the cross. So So when you see these foreign plants that now seem like natives this Christmas, remember the star and the foreign magi. Also remember that we were foreigners to Israel when our ancestors converted to Christianity. So let's share the good news with those countries that still have not heard about the baby born in Bethlehem.
The Chrismon Evergreen Tree. For the church, the Chrismon tree is one of the most popular symbols of the Christmas season. Isaiah 60, 13 says, "The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper, the fir, and the cypress together, to adore my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place for my feet." In ancient times, trees and all nature were held in great reverence as a symbol of rebirth. During the season of Yule, trees were brought indoors and decorated as part of pagan worship. Because of this, many Christian churches ban trees indoors. Today, for many Christians, the Chrismon tree is a reminder of the crucifixion of Christ on a tree. It symbolizes a rebirth for us sinners through our salvation and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The evergreen points skyward, urging us to ever look upward to heaven.
The tree lights. We carry the light of Christ within us, not just through the Christmas season, but all year. Our calling is to be an incarnation of Jesus into our dark world. Christ's light shines into our hearts and through us, which empowers us to become that light to the world. The lights also remind us that Jesus has promised to return. Christ said in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the room. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The small white lights used on the tree represents each person who makes up the body of Christ. Each bulb emits only a small light, but together they are bright in the darkness and overwhelm the senses.
The Christmas star. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 9. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was.
The Christmas star at the top of the tree serves as a symbol of Christmas in many ways. First, we remember the star of Bethlehem and the Magi following the star to the Christ child. The Bible in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16 also refers to Jesus as the morning star. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star." Also, the star is reminiscent of peace throughout the world, made possible through Christ. The starlight is universal. Its rays are seen everywhere, and so stars are a symbol of peace.
If you would please turn in your hymn books once again to hymn number 87.
Please join me while you stand, please. Father, we love you and appreciate so much everything that you do in our hearts and in our lives. And this is a special season. Thank you so much for sending your son. Jesus, thank you for coming. And Holy Spirit, thank you for living in our hearts and being again in our midst. I pray that this Christmas season be just a special time with our families, a special time when your love that you've given us for each other can be manifested in every home. And that, Father, if there's a heart in our homes that does not know you, if we've got a single family member that's not sure that they know you, let us take the joy of this season and point it towards you. And Father, I pray that the truth of your word, that the light that is inherent in the gospel, that the truth that you are and that you represent, Lord Jesus, can just fill our homes, fill our hearts, and let us simply spread it. That just as tonight we've understood the light of your spirit that lives in us, let us shine that light and let us be able to minister to others. And Lord, thank you for this family. Thank you for every child that participated tonight and them having a part in what we celebrate. Thank you for every person that stood to read and to share. Thank you for every listener as we've just assembled together to worship you and to glorify you. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior and your Son, that your blessings will be extended to us and through us to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas.